policing, public safety, increased surveillance, more security in metro stations. These are some of the top priority issues for Montreal's new leading municipal party. Ensemble Montréal has won a majority at City Hall, and their leader, Soraya Martinez-Ferrada, has won the position of mayor with 43% of the vote. Ensemble won with a mandate to freeze and audit cycling infrastructure, speed up private housing development, and increase public safety. They want to double the number of police and social work teams in the city, or mixed squads, as they're sometimes called. They want to increase police presence in metro stations, increase the policing budget overall, and add more surveillance cameras to the streets. Joining me now is an expert in public policy on policing, Dr. Ted Rutland. Dr. Rutland is a professor of human geography at Concordia who focuses on urban politics, planning, and policing in Canadian cities with a social justice lens. Ted, thanks for joining CJLO. To get started, would you just introduce yourself and tell me a bit about your areas of research?
Sure. My name is Ted Rutland. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Geography, Planning, and Environment at Concordia. My research mostly focuses on urban politics, policing, and housing in Canadian cities.
And as a Montrealer, what were your highest priorities? And as a voter, what were your highest priorities this municipal election?
Well, obviously, we're living in the midst of a set of intersecting crises that are manifest in Montreal, but are also connected to global forces and global changes. The housing crisis is the most profound of those, I think, which we talk about in terms of rapidly rising rents, a wave of evictions motivated by real estate speculation, an absence of the construction of social housing, and a massive increase in homelessness. The existing government's primary response to this has been to dispatch the police to deal with the symptoms of a housing crisis. And so we've seen under the last 4 years of Projet Moyen, the biggest police budget increases in the history of the city. We've seen the city support the continued practices of racial profiling and social profiling of the SPVM. We've seen Projet Moyen appeal a Superior Court decision where the judge ruled against the SPVM and the city for racial profiling. And so it's been a crisis that has emanated from forces beyond the city of Montreal, but where Projet Moyen, in its actions and inactions, has worsened the crisis and has normalized a level of police violence against the most marginalized members of our community that is really damaging to people, but also damaging to their own prospects. Because if you start normalizing effectively right-wing policies, you're paving the way to be defeated by a right-wing opponent.
Let's talk about that opponent a little bit. Montreal has chosen its next mayor and its next ruling, its next leading party. Ensemble Montréal is, they've won a slim majority. Soraya Martinez-Ferrada is now the mayor. Let's talk a little bit about what their policies look like. They have said they want to double the number of police and social work teams. And they've also put an emphasis on increased security, more cameras in public spaces, things like this. From your perspective as someone who studies policing and the harms that can come with over-policing, your reaction to those sorts of proposals?
Well, first of all, we can see where Ensemble Montréal had their gains. And so there were about 14 districts where power passed from Projet Montréal to Ensemble Montréal. And they're overwhelmingly in the old and new suburbs of the city. And so Projet Montréal kept its traditional strongholds in gentrifying central city neighborhoods, and it lost areas like Côte-des-Neiges, Anse-Cartier-Ville, Rivière-des-Prairies, Pointe-aux-Trembles, etc. And so what we're seeing is partly the inability of Projet Montréal to develop a program that appeals to people beyond the neighborhoods that it grew out of. In terms of Ensemble Montréal's campaign and its platform, They talked a lot about bike lanes, but they were very wishy-washy on what they actually wanted to do. They used bike lanes as a wedge issue, to their benefit. The party on housing basically copy-pasted the agenda of the property development lobby, the Institut de Développement Urbain du Québec. And so everything that Ensemble Molière promised to do on housing was exactly what the development lobby wants. And so it'll be, a very profitable period for developers. We'll see more construction of condos that people can't afford, and that will, significantly serve as investment vehicles for people rather than actual housing. And on policing, as you noted, they promised to double the number of police mixed squads, which isn't very significant because there aren't very many mixed squads, but those are squads where the police patrol with social workers or health professionals. And they're not helpful. They're extremely damaging. I did a extensive investigation of mixed squads with the homeless serving coalition, HAPSIM, and found that having the police patrol with social workers makes the work of actual social workers much more difficult, because we're talking about social workers that are trying to build relationships with unhoused people who have no reason to trust someone who just walks up and says they're there to help you. And that work of building relationships is made much harder when you've got this branch of social workers that say they're there to help, but are actually working with the police. And they've also promised to increase the number of special constables in the metro's stations, which of course won't do anything, because the problems that occur in metro stations are massively exaggerated. And also can't be addressed by increasing the number of police officers. I mean, you can't have a police officer in every metro car, and even if you did, stuff's still going to happen. So it's a platform that largely serves the interests of the development lobby, but that was appealing to a lot of people who aren't developers. In the same way that Pierre Poilievre's campaigning on housing policy was appealing, because they are proposing something different and they have a believable story about how their approach will fix things. And Projet Moyen doesn't have a story about how they'll fix things. And people understand that the situation for most Montrealers has gotten worse on Projet Moyen's watch. And so, let me be clear here, they have a believable story that we will find out is false, but that people, we can sort of empathize with people who don't spend a lot of time nerding out about housing policy, for believing it.
Well, we can nerd out about housing policy for a moment here. That's why I have you here. So we look at Ensemble's policy, and there's a like you mentioned, a strong emphasis on private development. To use their language, a cutting of red tape. They want to use AI to expedite permits for the development of buildings and condos, and they want to enforce a 20% social slash affordable. I think they can kind of combine these terms. Minimum in developments. So tell me from your perspective why this isn't effective. I mean, I think a lot of people hear this and they hear, well, great, that'll speed up housing stock. So tell me a little bit about why you view this as a profit motivated and also why you view this as ineffective housing policy.
Sure. So they haven't said anything about mandating social or affordable housing. They said that they'll add a series of incentives that will encourage developers to do this, but they haven't said any specifics. And just we're moving from a system where the Règlement pour la Métropole Mixte, or the 2020-20 policy, effectively operated as a tax on developers. A very small tax, probably added about 3% to the cost of new condos. And that money was used by the city to either build social housing or to take rental housing off the market and turn it into nonprofit housing. So we had a tax on developers that was used to produce social housing. What Ensemble Montréal is saying is, we're going to give money or other incentives to developers in the hopes that they'll build social housing. So it's like everybody in Montreal will now pay developers in order to build social housing. It won't work. In terms of, removing red tape, removing regulations, Certainly, there should be ways of speeding up development approvals. Cogemolin tried to do that towards the end of its mandate. It seemed like it started to work this year. There was a major increase in housing starts this year in Montreal, whereas they plummeted in Toronto. Certainly, there's some work to do there. But the larger thing is that if we just let developers do whatever they want, it will increase housing supply, and it very well might do that. But what supply will there be? It will be condos that most people can't afford. So it's a plan that relies on a very simplistic idea about how prices are determined by supply and demand. And if you just increase supply, you'll somehow bring down prices. And that just doesn't ever happen. Like they say, this is economics 101, but what they really mean is like that's the first day of economics 101. And then on the day two, you complexify the story. And so, it's well understood among people who like look at this that the private market will never provide for the housing needs of like working class or poor people. I mean, it's just factually the case that they're not going to build housing that people who are really suffering in this housing market will be able to afford. And I don't think any developer would ever say that they were going to, right? So there needs to be state action to ensure that there are housing units available for people who can't pay the costs of new units. And Ensemble Montréal is basically pledging to backtrack on state intervention in the housing sector. Projet Montréal already wasn't good, right? I'm not praising them in any way, but it is worse.
And so from the let's talk about voter turnout a little bit, because it seems like what you're saying is that there were the gains that Ensemble made were in suburban areas, not so much in the denser city centers. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, they retook a bunch of districts that Projet Moliad managed to take first in 2017 and then in 2021. And so, if we want to understand this victory, we need to understand what was going on in those districts. It's a little bit hard to know, but the simple story is that Ensemble Moliad had a better story about how people living in those districts would see their lives improve than Projet Moyen.
But we also see a historically low voter turnout. I think the lowest since 1986 or 85, somewhere in there. With multiple parties and candidates, I think it worked out to that the incoming mayor, Soraya Martinez Ferrado, only got about 16% of the eligible vote. And now she will be mayor for 100% of the city. You're someone who's clearly coming at this from a more progressive perspective. So, for progressive voters in the city, what does the next step look like? What is the future like now to get people inspired and motivated and organized when people won't even come out to vote?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, that the question of why people don't turn out to vote, we often don't have a lot of data on that. So we all kind of speculate. And clearly, as you're saying, it was a problem this election more than most. And it's always a problem in municipal elections. It would be nice to, in the months to come, to understand why some people didn't turn out. What kind of, offering might have gotten them to the polls. And I think that the usual progressive position, which I share, is that you can get progressive people elected if you can tap into some of the people who don't vote. This was the wager of the two Bernie Sanders campaigns. It was part of the wager of the successful Mamdani campaign in New York. In these early days after the election, I am trying to figure out what conclusions we can draw based on the information that we have. And we don't have any information on why people didn't vote. But if I'm to speculate a little bit, I would say that Mamdani's campaign in New York, so Zoran Mamdani, pointed to, a different kind of left politics in the United States, as well as a different kind of urban politics. And so as a lot of people know, after Trump won the election last, however, it feels like ages ago. It's in
So it
last fall.
hasn't even been a year.
Oh my God. So famously, what Mamdani did after Trump's election was to go to sectors where Trump had won in the outer boroughs of New York City and talk to working class people about why they voted Trump. The understanding being that, like, if you're on the left, you want working class people to vote for you. And Trump obviously had a story that appealed to some working class people. And so I think that that potentially translates very well to Montreal, where, the left of the political spectrum for over a decade has been defined by Projet Montréal, which I don't see as a left-wing party. And in this election, Transition Montréal, which is a typical like NDP style social democratic party, but had the same kind of pattern results as Projet Montréal. They did well in the same districts that Projet Montréal did well in, and they didn't do well in the, sort of what I'm calling like the older and newer suburbs. So clearly one important thing for progressives is to figure out like how do we have a municipal platform that appeals to working class people and progressives outside of the central city neighborhoods? That's a key thing. The other thing I think is that we need to be active before the next election. Like there's a lot that we can do as people, as citizens, as people involved in organizations in the interim. And so, Projet Moliad still holds six boroughs. I can't remember if it's five or six. I did the math this morning. They claim to be a progressive party. There's tons of things that can be done at the borough level around housing in particular, but also policing, planning, parks, etc. And so I think that people need to be getting involved in some kind of organization that can pressure Projet Moliad in those districts to adopt progressive policies that will slow down, if not stop, evictions, that will cease these police attacks on homeless encampments, etc., etc. And then the other thing, the weird contradiction with Ensemble Montréal is that they actually have one representative, Benoît Langevin, who ran a homeless shelter in Pierrefonds before entering politics. And he's actually been very good on homelessness. He is often, in the last 8 years, been demanding changes in policies and spending from Projet Moyen on homelessness. The Projet refused. And so Ensemble's platform on homelessness is actually better than Projet Moyen's. The contradiction is that their policy on housing is going to put more people in the streets. And then when homeless people are not in shelters, they're more likely to get attacked by the police. But there's like some possibility to do some really good things on the homelessness front under Ensemble Montréal. And like, so I want to sort of like insert that note of like hope and nuance, because we can't just like give up and say, oh, things are just going to be terrible for the next 4 or 5 years. It's like there's possibilities to move things at the borough level. There's still possibilities of doing things on homelessness at the citywide level. And then regardless, just people on, unfortunately, people are just going to have to get organized and get involved in things because we're facing the challenge of our time, of our lifetime, with rising fascism around the world, with increasing right-wing populism. So, like, Ensemble's win is more than anything a reflection of these broader currents. And if we don't get organized, we're going to see something far worse than Ensemble Royale.
Yeah, I on the homelessness thing, I believe Ensemble does want to spend more on tackling homelessness. So that's the component you're talking about there. And then, you mentioned Transition, the new sort of left-wing party that emerged at the beginning of this election. And maybe it did well in terms of popular vote, but it finished fourth behind the right-wing Action Montreal. I mean, do you see a future for Transition Montreal? I mean, it's like what you're saying is your hope for the next 4 years is that as an opposition party, Projet can be pressured to adopt policies that are more in line with, something that, would be that you would approve of from a progressive standpoint. But do you see a future for Transition?
I mean, it's sort of up to Craig Zobie and other Transition Montréal members, Sauvé has said that he wants to continue. So I suppose that it will. It'll be hard, right? Because none of them will have jobs. And Craig Sauvé was also an independent city councillor, a city councillor with Projet for a long time, an independent city councillor, and a really important progressive voice in city council. I'm very sad to see him go. So it'll be hard for them. What I am saying, I guess, and I'm sure that they see this too, is that if they are to continue, one of their roles is to figure out how to develop a progressive platform that appeals to people in districts where neither Projet nor Transition were able to make inroads. It can also, adopt this kind of combative movement party that Québec solidaire used to embody, and that I know that Craig Sauvé kind of appreciates, where it's like you try to develop a party that is a kind of political voice for social movements. And so if that's going to be the case, then Transition has to figure out how to work with activist groups and community organizations over the next 4 years to like figure out how to like help advance those their demands, and how to put them in policy terms, because sometimes like activist groups like are sometimes, and I'm not criticizing for them for this, I'm part of groups that do this, is we criticize things, but we don't necessarily like always name the city policy that might make things better, which is fine, but it's a role that Transition could play, and that Quebec Solidaire in the past played, most notably during the student movement in 2012.
Well, Ted, thanks for taking some time to join CJLO 1690 AM to discuss municipal politics and talk about the results of this election from your perspective.
Cool. Thanks for inviting me, Adam.